Ladies, hello. I have missed you so much. And honestly, it's my own fault that I have not had anything out lately. But can I be super honest with you? Of course, I'm always super honest with you. But I have been sitting on this content, this idea, for probably a week or two now. And I have been wrestling with, why is it so difficult for me to put this out there for you? And I think it's because of how much it has hit home. It has been a good journey, but just kind of crazy as I've been wrestling with this idea and how to put it into words, and then what it means for my own heart and how I can translate that to you. So thank you for your patience with me. I'm so glad you're here. I am not going anywhere. I am here to love you and to serve you. And thank you, those of you that have reached out to me to see how I was doing, make sure everything was okay. So yes, all is well, and I am back. So grab your Bible. We are going to be back and forth through a couple different passages in the book of John. So grab your Bible, turn to John, grab a pen and a notebook, and let's get started. Hey mama, welcome to Intimacy After Infidelity. Do you find yourself Googling, can a marriage survive infidelity? Or what's the first step to divorce? Do you wake up full of hope, only to end the day with more shame when there's another stupid argument again? Hey, I'm Christina Joy, forgiven daughter of Jesus. I too felt the shame of infidelity and wished someone had a roadmap for how to get out of the mess so I could experience freedom. I kept telling myself I just needed to try harder to end the affair and fix my marriage, until I found I needed Jesus to heal some deep wounds in my heart. Through prayer, lots of research, and developing new healthy habits, I was able to find healing to shed my shame once and for all. Now I'm excited to share everything I've learned with you. So find your safe space and pop in that earbud. Let's rebuild your life and marriage better than it's ever been. Hey friend, I just want to remind you that we have such an amazing community of women who are doing life together, asking the hard questions, giving encouragement, giving experience and advice and wisdom and next steps. So if you are looking for community, would you reach out to me? We have a Facebook group. You can search facebook.com/groups/intimacyafterinfidelity. Or reach out to me and I will get you the link. But you are welcome. One of my favorite phrases is your brokenness is welcome here. So I want to do that for you. Now, I told you, open up your Bibles, get ready in the book of John, because I'll be honest, I don't have a practical application for you today. I have a question for you to sit with. And I actually have kind of 4 points of an outline that I see repeated over and over and over again in multiple stories. And from that, there's a question that I'm going to ask you to sit with that I have been sitting with. And depending on your answer to the question would then be your next steps. So let me tell you what those are. First of all, in many of these stories of Jesus's interactions with people, there is a question that gets asked. So number one is a question. Then number two, there is an honest, a raw, honest answer. And then from that answer, number three, is Jesus bringing healing and forgiveness to the person or the situation. And then number four, after that healing and after that forgiveness, then there's righteous living. There's right living here on earth and before God. Okay, so those again, number one, the question, number two, the honest answer, number three, healing and forgiveness in Jesus' name, and then number four, righteous living. All right, let me give you some examples and tell you why this was so hard for me. So I am starting in John chapter 5, where Jesus heals a lame man. And what caught my attention is when Jesus asks him in verse 6, would you like to get well? Now, let me back up. It says there were crowds of sick people laying on the porches, this one specific place that was in Jerusalem. And one of the men that was lying there had been sick for 38 years. So, you know, for some of you, that might not even be your whole life, or it might be most of your life. But he had been laying there sick for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him, Jesus knew the situation about how he had been sick and lame. And so he asks him, would you like to get well? And at first glance, you might read that and say, Jesus, are you crazy? Like, of course this guy would want to get well. Of course he'd want to get up and walk, you know. But for people who did not comprehend the miraculous power that Jesus had, they're watching this like, what is he asking him? He wants to get well? What do you mean? So that was the question. The honest answer that this guy gives Jesus, he says, I can't. Jesus, I can't. I've tried and I can't get into this pool where people believed, you know, the waters had healing properties. So this man says, I can't. I've tried. That was his answer. What comes next? Jesus tells him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. And you probably know that that happened. The man did stand up, pick up his mat, and walk. And then Jesus tells him, down in verse 14, Jesus says, now you are well, so stop sinning. And then even down below that in verse 24, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. So again, that honest question, do you want to be healed? And the man said, I've tried, I can't. But Jesus healed him. And from then on, the man was a living testimony. He gave witness to Jesus, who physically and spiritually healed him. And so sitting with this question of, would you like to get well? Do you want to be healed? Sister, how does that sit in your spirit? I was thinking of this in terms of the brokenness from the affair and all of the things that I was chasing. Am I chasing the attention of men? Am I chasing, you know, somebody that would care for me? Am I chasing somebody who would look at me? Am I chasing somebody who wants to say, you know, pretty and kind and flirtatious things to me? What is it that I need healed from? Maybe I need healed from the hurt that has come from the marriage that I'm currently in. So whatever that means for you, what is it that you need healed from? And what if Jesus asked you, do you want healed from that? And I thought of a couple excuses, a couple responses that we might come back with. One is like this man, when he said, I can't. I've tried it. Jesus, I've tried the courses, I've tried the coaches, I've tried the counseling, I've tried the books, I've tried the podcasts. Jesus, I can't. I've tried, and I don't know what's left. Or another response, again, honesty here, another response is, you might say, you know what, this isn't so bad. I've learned how to cope, and it is what it is. You know, if you could see me, I'm shrugging my shoulders. Whatever, I can deal with it. I can put up with it. This is my life right now. And so, thanks, Jesus. I guess I don't really care if you heal me or not, because I'm surviving. I'm coping. Sound familiar? Option number three that I thought of, do you want to be healed? Maybe your response is, but this is my identity, that this is who I am now. And sister, I will tell you right now, that is a lie from the pit of hell itself. But I understand sitting in that and saying, this is who I am. Nothing is going to change. Maybe you have even heard the stereotype of once a cheater, always a cheater. And so you start to let that sink into your mind and heart and describe who you are. And so when somebody offers you healing, you say, well, you know, this is who I am. Or one other option, do you want to be healed? What if you turn around and ask that question, what are people going to think about me? And as I sat in that question, man, what would people think about me if Jesus healed me from this? I thought of the story, if you flip ahead in your Bible to John chapter 9, the question was actually asked by the disciples. This question was, Jesus, teacher, why was this man born blind? Was it because he had sinned or because his parents had sinned? Why was he born blind? The answer comes from Jesus. He said, it's not because of his sin or his parents' sin, but he was blind so that the power of God could be seen in him. Okay, so after the answer, then comes healing and forgiveness. And so, sure enough, it says in this story, John chapter 9, Jesus spit on the ground, made mud out of the dirt, and put mud on this blind man's eyes. And then he told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. And when the man came back, he could see again. So, okay, after healing and forgiveness, then comes righteous living. So what does this man do? Well, he starts talking with some of his neighbors, and his neighbors are saying, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Again, identity. Like, isn't this the one who used to fill in the blank? And, you know, so didn't he used to sit and beg? And other people said, no, it just looks like him, but it's not really him. How could he be healed? But the beggar kept saying, yes, I am the one. It is me. And then the man went out and he said, Jesus did this. Jesus made mud and put it on my eyes and told me to go wash and then I could see. So righteous living, this man had a testimony of God's power in his life. So again, I'm wrestling with this question, do you want to be healed? But maybe something that's tugging on my heart and holding me back is this idea of what are other people going to think? What are they going to say? Are they going to talk about me? Are they going to form opinions about me? Are they going to talk to me and say something that might hurt? Am I going to lose friends? You know, on one hand, I would have Jesus' healing, but on the other hand, am I going to lose friends over this? Do you want to be healed? Now, there's another story that I think this outline fits in beautifully. I'm always coming back to John chapter 8, so one chapter before chapter 8, and it's the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. If you're not familiar with this, the religious leaders of that day brought a woman to Jesus, and it says she was caught in the act of adultery. And so they made a public display of her, and they said, Jesus, the old law says that we're supposed to stone her. We're supposed to kill her. Jesus, what do you say? And Jesus stooped down in the dirt and he was drawing in the dust with his finger. And the people kept asking him, Jesus, what should we do with her? You know, she sinned. And Jesus said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned cast the first stone. So that question, Jesus, what are we supposed to do with her? And Jesus answered, well, if you have never sinned, you be the first one to cast the stone. And then it says he stooped down again and started drawing in the dust again. And one by one, the people started to walk away. They knew that they had sinned. They couldn't stone her first. But then the healing and forgiveness comes in when Jesus finally stood up and looked at this woman. And he said, where are your accusers? Doesn't anybody here condemn you? And the woman said, no, Lord, nobody's left to condemn me. And Jesus responded, neither do I. Go and sin no more. So again, the healing, the forgiveness, there's no more condemnation for anyone who is in Christ Jesus. But then what follows that is the command of righteous living. Go and sin no more. Go and be a testimony of my power and my love and my grace and my forgiveness. Go and share my name and the rescue that I have done in your life. So, sister, I know it's kind of an uncomfortable place to leave this, you know? I don't have specific things for you to do after this, but I challenge you to sit with that question, would you like to be healed? It's scary because I can promise you it will change your life. However, when it's the promise of true healing, when it's the promise of true living, of being free and fully alive, there is nothing else in this world that compares to that. And I would love to know your answer. What do you think? If someone were to ask you, someone like Jesus, especially, if Jesus were to ask you, would you like to be healed? What would your answer be? I would love to know. Find me on social media. Find me in the Facebook group. Send me an email. Whatever works. But I would love to continue the conversation with you. Sisters, I love you. And I am praying for you. And I, again, am so excited to be back with you and bringing you new content. And if you have questions, let me know. Ask me the question, and I would love to turn that into a full-length episode for you. Sister, be blessed. I am praying for you, and Jesus cherishes you. He loves you, and He desires you, and He smiles on you.
Hey, Mama! I hope today's episode encouraged your heart. If you need to talk about this some more, would you send me a message at ChristinaJoyCoaching.com? Also, please take 30 seconds and leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It thrills my heart to know this podcast is helping you heal your heart so you can shed the shame of your affair. I am cheering for you, and I can't wait to hear your story. I'll meet you back here on Tuesdays and Thursdays for another episode. As always, be clothed with strength and dignity, and laugh without fear of the future.